Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Bring up Darren and Beck right now to come and share some stuff with us.
This is my side.
This is your side. Yeah. That's cool.
This is the control side. Oh.
Hello. How are we? Thank you so much for having us. Before we get into the message, Pastor Jeff, I love what you shared in the worship earlier, and I just got this quick word for us. I thought we might just dive into something prophetic first. Is that all right? Is that okay? You guys ready? I actually got this word for our church last week, and God just confirmed me that this is going to help some people here as well. And I've been reading through the book of Romans and just, you know, camping there and just dwelling on it. And one thing that I got for our church and also for you comes out of Romans 8. And Romans 8 is just such a powerful scripture. And it says in Romans 8 verse 37, it says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And the word I got was that we only count our victories. And some of us get so used to counting our defeats. Some of us feel like, you know, it's two steps forward and three steps back, you know. And sometimes we feel like, oh, we're just kind of, we're just plugging away, but we're not winning. And God says, well, defeats don't define you. Our victories are the ones who define us. Because Jesus, like God says, that you're actually more than a conqueror. Like, you're a conqueror and then some, right? And so we got to stop counting our defeats and just start counting our victories. Well, that's another win. That's another win. That's another win. That's another win. And I feel like that's for some of us here today. You know, you're more than a conqueror. Don't be defined by when it's not working out. Be defined by what Jesus says about you, that you are more than a conqueror. So every time you win, you just go, that's who I am. That's who I am. Does that help? Is that all right? Cool. All right, we're not talking about anything to do with that today. That's free. That's free for you. Awesome. I'm just going to fix this up so that we don't get alerts and all kinds of things don't pop through. Here we go. Firstly, just want to really thank Pastors Jeff and Ro for having us this weekend. You know what? We just really want to honor you both. We are just so impressed with you, with what you've created, with what you've built. 15 years ago, you guys planted this church and you have been so faithful, so awesome. You are building something remarkable right here in Bathurst. Can you put your hands together for your senior pastors? Just thank you. You guys are like, it's so awesome in C3. We have so loved getting to know you a bit more this weekend. I've been doing some stuff with Jeff over the years, with Thailand, and, you know, a few little things that we've been involved in together. But it's just been so good to hang out, get to know you. You are quality people. You are very blessed people to have these guys as your senior pastors. So, you should be really thankful.
I just want to add to that as well, to acknowledge your kids. You know, you've got your kids serving in the house, and you know, we've got four kids of our own, and it's tough work being the pastor's kid sometimes. And someone always wants your mum and dad. You know, when you come to church, you kind of also come to work with mum and dad. You know, probably most of the rest of you don't take your kids to work as well and have that juggle, you know.
That's a good thing.
That's a great thing. Oh, no, we take ours to work sometimes out of necessity. It can be really hard work, but you do it as a family because you want to take everybody for the ride. You minister as a family, and it's beautiful to see what you've created here. It's awesome.
So, yeah, we honor you guys today. Yeah. You're awesome. Thank you. So good. So we are Darren and Beck Chapman, and we're from C3 Church Victory, as Pastor Rowe was saying earlier, and we're exec pastors there now. We've been ministering for almost 20 years.
No, we don't look anywhere near old enough for that.
I'm only like 25.
We started super young.
We have three teenage boys and a little girl, and it's just it's awesome. It's a crazy journey having kids. Who's got kids here? You know, all right, good. Who is a kid here? Okay, good. Good stuff. We've been married for 23 years, and
Look, here they are.
Oh, and that's our tribe. There we go. Ethan's the one on the left, and his hair is much longer than that right now. And that's Josie, Tom, and Jed. Tom and Jed are twins. And they're all about my height now, which is just not great. But anyway.
And that's actually the best photo that we can get of them all in one.
Yep. We tried so hard for that photo.
The silly faces. That took a long time.
It took a long time to get one that good. So it's good. Awesome. That's good. And like was mentioned, we are really passionate about healthy families, healthy marriages that really go the distance. So we're really privileged to preach together today. We like to do things together. And this message, if you're writing notes, is called Build Your House. Build Your House. And it's a message about family. It's a message about what you are building and what you are contributing to together. So if you're a teenager here, if you're a young adult here, this is also for you because you contribute to the home. You contribute to the culture, to the atmosphere, to the functioning of the home as well. And family is like one of the most important things that we get to build in this life. Church family, our own personal family at home. And so it's really important that we do it with wisdom, we do it with a sense of intentionality, and then we do it with kind of according to the Word of God, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We bought our current house that we're living in right now. We bought it about, 11 years ago?
Yeah, before we had Josie, because we couldn't all fit in the other house.
That's right. We had to buy a new house because the other house was too small. So that's why you don't have four children, you have three children, because then you got to upgrade everything. You know, your car, your house, you got to do it all. And after a few years, we had a little block of land in the back and we subdivided and we sold that block of land after a few years. And then we thought, let's renovate the inside of the house. It was an old house, but a huge, like single level, huge house. And we're like, okay, this has got so much potential. That's basically why we bought it. And we were like, cool, renovate all right, what are we going to do? It was... Renovator's dream, not the typical one. It was not too bad. Just so much wallpaper. Anyway.
Wood paneling.
That was awful. Anyway, so we hired this builder to do like all of this internal renovations, and he's putting up walls and ripping out walls and doing all kinds of stuff. And we moved the whole kitchen into a different area. Like it was heaps and heaps of stuff. And after a while, we're like, this is actually awesome. And I took some time off, and I gyprocked the whole thing. And look, it took ages, and it was awesome. At the end of it, we had an extra bedroom. We had a study. We'd really worked the space really, really well. And years later, like this guy was just a solo guy doing his own thing and kind of a little bit untested. And we didn't know that at the time. But years later, he says to us, oh, yeah, that was the first big job I'd ever done. And we're like, oh. Really? So glad it worked out. We're really, really happy. And like, he's got like 10, 20 staff now, or he does all these massive jobs around Newcastle. And we're like, oh, really glad it's working out for you and that our house hasn't fallen down. But it could have gone really, really badly. You know, you hear those like horrible stories of people who hire tradies and then it just doesn't work out. And you're like, great. Yeah, that's not good. We're really glad that this one worked out for us. But when you're building something that is really, really important, like your family, it's important that we pay attention to what is happening. It's important that we glean wisdom and do it well and be on purpose and build the kind of thing that God talks about in the Word of God. And who was really glad to see the end of 2020? Was it as bad for you as it was for us? Who was like really, Was 2020 bad for you? Put up your hand if it was bad for you. Like four of you. Okay, great. You know, 2020 was a horrible year for us, for our family, for so many reasons. We had lots of crazy challenges that we never had to really deal with. And it was probably the hardest year for us because I've blocked out what life was like with three kids under two. I can't remember that. So I'm pretty sure that 2020 was the hardest year for us. And maybe you're actually walking through some stuff right now in your family that's particularly difficult. Maybe you're walking through some stuff in your marriage right now that is particularly difficult. You should definitely come to the Alpha Marriage Course. It is amazing. You should definitely do that. But like, can I just clarify again? This is not just for married people today. This is for all of you. For like whatever kind of level of community that you are living in, even if it's just this community of faith, this family that you're in right now, this message is for you. And I just got this sense this morning also that there's something about, and this is not really, I guess, part of the message, but maybe it is. There's something that the Holy Spirit wants to say today about not just sitting back and allowing the world to dictate how life and family and marriage is going to be for you, but actually taking some responsibility, taking some authority as a child of God and deliberately building something that is wonderful and fruitful and powerful. You know, take some steps forward to build your house. You know, the Word of God says that he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. So I'm going to read from Proverbs. You've got your Bible there. Why don't you turn to Proverbs? I'm going to let Beck speak in just a minute. Don't think that she's just here to, you know.
Be a pretty face.
She's not just a pretty face. She is that and much more. But in Proverbs 24, verse 3-4, it says this. It says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." Let's pray. Father, today we pray that you would give us fresh insight and fresh wisdom to build our homes, our house, our families, our marriages really well. God, we want to build something of significance, of wonder, of honor to you, something that glorifies Jesus and bears fruit in the world. And we pray that you would give us wisdom and insight today to build great marriages, to build great families, and to build this house of C3 Bathurst with such strength and purpose and life in it. So would you help us today, Jesus? Amen. Amen.
We've titled this message, Build Your House, if you didn't pick that up earlier. But, you know, everyone wants what these verses are describing. We all want a house that's built up that, you know, even as teenagers, you know, you can kind of go, oh, this is mum and dad's place. As young adults, oh, yeah, well, I'll be moving out soon. But you contribute so much to the atmosphere in the house, so don't think of today as being, you know, oh, whatever, it doesn't really apply to me, this is for mum and dad. There's so much value in everyone that lives in the house contributing. Yeah. You know, we all want to live in a house, in a home that feels warm and feels loving, and that we want strong marriages, we want great foundations for marriages, we want them close and going in the same direction. And we want to have these moments with each other that aren't just, you know, some nice little connection. Oh, yeah, you know, that's cool. We want some depth and we want some intimacy in that. And we want every room, you know, this passage talks about in Proverbs 24 that, you know, these rare and beautiful treasures. And you kind of go, oh, that's, you know, cute poetic language, isn't it? You know, oh, it's a bit nice. Oh, we want rare and beautiful treasures. We're not talking, you know, a visit to the Bathurst antique store. I think I passed one somewhere where we were driving. We're not just talking about a few good things, but we're talking about things like laughter and connection, things like joy and peace, things like encounter and the presence of God in our homes, like worship and revelation and strength and purpose and kindness. There's so much more to this, you know, when you unpack what a rare and beautiful treasure is, what you want in your home. You know, I've mentioned a few things, but you're going to think of more things. Oh, I want this for our home. I want this for my relationships in our home, with my spouse or with my kids, with my mum or my dad, with my brothers. We have a lot. Oh, they're not there anymore, but, you know, we sort of, there's things that we want for our kids. And as, you know, those of you who are parents, oh, I want them to be close. I want them to, like, be friends, not just at each other all the time. There's these things we want to build into our homes. And, you know, we work on that together.
Yeah, that's true. So if you're writing notes, write this down, point number one. And you're like, how do they take so long to get to point number one? It's all right. It's number one is build with wisdom. Build with wisdom. Has anyone ever set up a standing basketball court, like a basketball ring outside your house before? Have you ever constructed one? Very good. Props to you, mate. That's
shaking
awesome.
Shaking his head.
We bought one for our eldest son at some stage a few years ago, and I was putting it up, and I'm like, oh, there's the instructions, and I glanced at the instructions, had a bit of a look. Yeah, good, no worries. So I was building this, you know, this thing, and I'm putting the poles together, and then I'm like, that doesn't work. Like, that's weird. I'll get back to the instructions. No, that's how it's meant to be. So I'm like jamming these poles together. Like, I'm really going for it. Like, bang, bang, and we're hitting them. And I'm like, yeah, this is not working. So I go back to the instructions. I've put the pole in upside down. It's meant to go in like this, but it's metal on metal. It is stuck. Like, I have ruined a $300 birthday present for my son. I'm like, and I'm losing it. I completely lose. I'm, oh, whatever, stupid thing. You know, I'm really going off. And Beck hears what's going on, and she's like, So she comes out of the house to see what's going on, and she's like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, I've just wrecked this whole thing, far out, blah, 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 blah. And so anyway, turns out Beck comes and saves the day, as wives do, and she goes, maybe we should do this and do this. And so anyway, we worked it out. We got these two things out. We turned them around. We fixed it. They've been using it for 3 years almost every day.
Can of baked beans fixed everything.
Yes, miraculously. Can of baked beans has never fixed anything before except for this. It was amazing. But it made me realize when we are building something complex, it's so important to look at the guidance and the wisdom and the instruction that you've received for that thing. Like, when you're building a family, it's not just enough to go by, you know, just to go by the whim of whatever you're feeling at the time, but to actually look at instruction that the Word of God has given us and to go, what are we building here? Does this honor Jesus? Is this going to bear great fruit in the world? Is this going to create those rare and beautiful treasures? The verse says, by wisdom, a house is built. Wisdom is how you build something. Not by emotionally reckless decisions, not by manipulation, not by control, not through arguments or winning every single, you know, little battle here and there. We build through wisdom, not by force, not by power, not by pure emotion or pure intelligence. By wisdom, a house is built. Wisdom has been defined by simply the thing to do when you don't know what to do, or taking the knowledge about something and putting it to good use. But we're talking about God's wisdom here. It's a whole nother level. I love what J.I. Packer says in his book, Knowing God. He says, wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal, and is found in its fullness only in God. Every now and then, we need to kind of step back and ask the question, what are we building in our family, in our marriage, in our homes? What are you contributing to in your house? Are you building something wonderful that's going to glorify God and bear fruit for the kingdom of God? Are you building it with wisdom? You're building something that aligns with the way of Jesus. Like, it's hard to articulate sometimes what we want to build. It requires a headspace that's pretty hard to find sometimes, but it's worth taking the time to consider, what are we building and how much wisdom are we gleaning from the Word of God, from wise people in our church family, from our leaders? How much are we gleaning that is going to honor Jesus and building it with wisdom by wisdom? A house is built. If you're writing notes, write this one down. We need to establish with understanding. Some people, who loves to read? Who likes got so many books, you know, who's got books in their house that they've actually read? Very good. Good on you. I'm not a natural reader. I have to force myself to read. I love a good fiction book. I'm reading Dune by Frank Herbert, 50-year-old edition just came out. That is a trek to read. And I'm reading Ready Player One right now. I love Raymond E. Feist books as well. They're awesome. I can get into those. But reading something that's like self-help, I'm like, help me out here, Jesus. But the reason I make myself read is so that I can understand what I don't understand. It's very hard to create and build something if you don't understand how it works. And here it says, through understanding, it is established. By wisdom, a house is built. Through understanding, that it is established. So you can't establish something if you don't understand it. You can't build and create unity in your home or a space for God to invade, for presence, unless you understand how it works. And here's what we've come to understand, is that we can't love well and we can't lead our family well unless we understand what is going on in our family, unless we understand what is going on in the hearts and the lives of our kids, unless we understand where we're going and who we're following, right? And those are two things that we just decided we want to do. We want to love well and we want to lead well. And you can't do either of those without understanding.
Yeah. The understanding the people in your home is, man, it's helpful. Man, it's helpful. It's so easy when you are talking with somebody or perhaps disagreeing with somebody in your home to just be getting ready to craft your argument back, not to be listening to understand where they're coming from. And, you know, this isn't just for married couples. I see this with our kids and, you know, that one of them is, he could be the president of the United States with the arguments he can craft and the way he can, you know, turn things around. He's got a gift with words, and by the end of it, you're agreeing with him, even though you're like, what's happening here? What just happened in this conversation? You want to listen to understand, not just to wait for them to take a breath and go, right, here's my in.
Right.
You want to become a student of your family. You want to learn about each other, you know, of your parents, of your spouse, of your kids. How do they work? What are their triggers? How do they receive love? How do they give love? It's very likely not the same way that you receive or give love. What drains them? What fills their tank? How's it best to communicate with them? When is it best to communicate with them? Me, prior to 7 a.m.? Don't bother. You're not going to get anything good back. After a coffee, Darren greets me with a coffee each morning. He wakes me up with a coffee on the bedside table. He's a good man. Probably because he knows that he can't really communicate with me until that's happened.
Comatose,
that's right. What are their weaknesses? How can I support them better instead of just thinking about me? How do we protect our kids or your brothers and sisters? Where are they struggling? How can I support their mental health or their physical disability? Perhaps it's not as long-term or as heavy as some of those things. They're a reality in many families, though. Perhaps it's simply a daily decision to help out, to just do a little extra, to make their life a little bit easier, take off a bit of pressure. Do something extra that you weren't asked to do. When we look at it as we, as opposed to me, we as a family, we because I'm a part of a family, we because, you know, whether there's two of you in a home or six or seven or eight, depending on what your family structure looks like, you might have aging parents living with you and still have children living at home, whatever it looks like, how are we going to move forward together to create and build something incredible?
That's good. The other element of understanding is that's super helpful is understanding what God's heart is for you and for your family. What is God's will for us? What's God's heart for us? The more that we know God and we talk with Him and we read the Word, the more we understand what He desires for us. And He's a perfect Father. He's a good Father who wants the best things for His children, right? And we're blessed to be, you know, called children of God. And He wants the best for us. And this verse tells us that understanding something enables us to establish something. Understanding helps us to embed something into the fabric of our family. Into each individual, the principles of the kingdom, and hopefully each person in your home gets the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus for themselves as well.
Right. And it helps to understand where you are right now. You know, sometimes we like to just sort of carry on and kind of go, you know, we're all good, it's fine. But call it as it is. It gives you a starting point, you know. For example, you know what? We don't listen very well to each other. We're not spending enough time together as a family. We are so distracted and disconnected. We don't always like to admit if we're not doing so well at something. But knowing that baseline, knowing where you're at, yep. It gives you a starting point. It gives you, all right, well, we know where we're at. Yep. We can move forward. Just in my work this week, my role's sort of shifted a little bit in the last 12 months, and our church has USH centres, so before and after school care. And we've got 700 children that we see each week across the different centres, and we've had an assessment and rating, and this kind of whole thing weighs pretty heavily on the USH ward. The government comes in and scrutinises everything you do. It's been super relaxing. I was kidding, it is not super relaxing at all. It's terrifying. But, you know, our senior pastor said, you know what, whatever happens, it's all right, because we know where we're at then and we know what we need to do to move forward. Like, we can take steps. We're way better off knowing where we're at. I'm like, good for you. Like, I just want, like, this amazing rating, but at least we know where we are.
Yeah. It doesn't help to fake where you think you're at. Yeah. It helps to be real with where you're actually at. Because then you know, okay, well, now we can move forward. Now we know what to work on and fix. If you know that you're disconnected as a couple or as a family, well, okay, schedule in more family time, more dates, things like that. That's going to help to connect you to better. So build with wisdom, establish through understanding. We're running out of time right here. So, and with knowledge, the rooms of your home are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. I love that. But we do need a standard to measure against. And so number three, if you're writing notes, we need to decide where we're going. We need to decide where you're going. If you've got your Bible, Joshua chapter 24. When I was a kid, some people would have this verse like about their family, like on their kitchen or on their mantelpiece. You know, it was in the 80s, it was like crafted into some wood. Someone had, you know, meticulously crafted this verse into some wood, or some lady had, you know, cross-stitched it, and then it was like put into a frame and stuck on the mantelpiece somewhere. And the verse would say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
You're not reading all of that. All right, we haven't got time for that.
We don't. No, we'll just see here. You can go there.
We'll go there. All right. Verse 15 in that chapter in Joshua. I'm a huge fan of Joshua. I love it all the way through. And the verse there says, "But as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord." And, you know, the cross stitch would often leave off the "but." And I think the "but" is really significant. It's really a statement of dedication. It shows there's been this whole lot before. It's almost like it comes with a bit of a sigh, like, "But as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord." If you go back in those passages, and, you know, we haven't got time this morning, but if you go back, you get a little more context as to what was going on. Joshua, he was at the end of his life by verse 24. He's seen some extraordinary things. There's been some behaviours, though, that he's seeing that makes him think that maybe the people have forgotten what's gone before. He gives this great list of examples, you know, back to Moses and Aaron, citing examples of the situations they were in. Some extreme trials, some horrors, some stress that they've been through. And he reminds them who their defender was through it all. Who brought them out of Egypt? Who sorted out the whole deal with the Red Sea parting? How's that for an amazing story? Who brought them out of the wilderness? Who always went ahead of them? And it's then that he gives them this bit of a choice, a bit of an ultimatum almost. Verse 14 says, Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors worshipped before beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose. Wow. Then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Right. Life's hard some days. It's crap some days. And contrary...
Can you say that in church? Are you allowed to say that in church?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're allowed one. You're allowed
one only.
Yeah.
You know, contrary to popular wishes, Jesus never said it was all going to be a breeze. I wish that I could tell you that it was going to be, but it's not always a breeze. He said that there was going to be trouble in this life. And like everyone, we've seen some challenges through life. Through teen years, young adult years, 23 years of marriage to each other. But just like the Israelites, we've had to look back at stressful or horrible times, you know, years like last year that we'd rather forget. And we've had to make a choice every time. Now, despite all of that, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord.
And we realize that that's the wisest thing we could do for our family. The wisest possible thing that we could do is to make that decision. The best thing that we could do to establish in our family is the direction that, as for us, we will serve the Lord. That's what we've chosen. Sometimes our kids don't like it so much, you know, when you're waking them up super early on a Sunday morning. Come on, guys, get ready for church. It's like, guys, this is the direction that we're going. And this, more than any other decision, is the one that can bring these rare and beautiful treasures into our home. This decision to follow Jesus, to love Jesus. As for me and my house, Jesus is the standard by which we measure everything else. As for us, as for our home, everyone else has to choose for themselves, but as for us, this is where we're going. This is what we're building. We're building a family that's going to build the house, that's going to advance the kingdom, and for all the crazy challenges, we're going to trust the Father. For all of the stuff that we walk through and journey through together as believers, as people in this crazy world that we live in, we're just going to trust the Father. We're going to going to trust Jesus for everything. We're going to count our wins. We're going to count the victories. And we're going to trust God for everything else. It's not an overnight fix. Making the decision is not an overnight fix for all of your challenges and your family issues and your marriage problems. That's not an overnight fix, but it invites the presence of the Holy Spirit into your life. And because you're saying, God, would you be involved here? We want to follow you more than anything else that this world has to offer. More than the fame, more than the glory that's out there, more than the success and the money, more than anything else that this world has to offer. Jesus, we want you. We want you more than anything else. It's like we had to say to our kids, middle of COVID, middle of lockdown, we had to say to them, guys, we follow Jesus here. That's what we've chosen. Sure, you get to make your own decisions, but as for us, this is what that looks like. This is the standard that we're measuring everything up against. Maybe we could just pray. Is it all right to pray first? Is that okay? I just want to pray for you guys. Don't want to necessarily feel like we need to call you to the front. We do want to open it up for prayer after the service if you need prayer for anything. But I just really want to pray for you, for your home, for your marriage, that God would bless you. So why don't we just close our eyes? Why don't you, maybe you could stick out your hands as well in your seat and just receive something from the Holy Spirit today. God, we can't do this without you, and we don't want to. Holy Spirit, would you bless and touch every person in this room, everyone watching online right now who is willing to receive, who is hungry for wisdom, who wants the understanding, regardless of the reality check that that might be, who wants to understand what you want for them. Holy Spirit, you're welcome to minister, to move, to clarify, to bring revelation, to heal. We got a sense this morning, praying for you, that there's going to be some reconciliation happening. God is going to heal some relationships. Today, there's like a brand new journey that's just a tiny little sub-journey that's being launched today. God's going to help you to heal important relationships, heal family relationships, heal some friendships. Heal some relationships, maybe even in this room. We know the church is funky sometimes. It's okay. We just got to keep going together. Keep learning how to love, learning how to forgive. Would you move on us, Holy Spirit? Help us to love well. Personally today, if you're watching online and you're like, this is pretty cool, this is pretty weird, but you haven't got a personal relationship with Jesus today, I just want to take a moment and invite you into that friendship, into that moment where you know that you are going to heaven when you die, that all of your sin has been forgiven, and that you can have a personal, one-on-one, real relationship with God through Jesus. Because Jesus loves you. In John 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not die, but have eternal life. It's one of the most hallmark scriptures of the Christian faith. But it describes for us so much about God's love for each of us. And Jesus, you might have seen the cross in the foyer. Jesus died on a cross for you. Because he wants friendship with you. He wants relationship with you. None of this is possible. None of this, what we're talking about today, none of the journey of joy and transformation is possible without first coming to Jesus. So if that's you and you're like, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, but I want one, or I just want to start a journey with God today, would you just, let's just close our eyes right here in this room, if that's all right. If you're online and you want to pray this prayer with us as well, we would love to hear from you. Can you just get in contact with C3 Bathurst, with Pastor Jeff and Pastor Rowe? That would be awesome. But if you're in this room and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, but you want one, can you stick up your hand right now? If you're here and you're like, I want to come back to Jesus. Maybe you walked away right at the back of the room. Thank you. That's awesome. You can pray this prayer with me as well. Is there anyone else here who wants to come back to faith in Jesus today? Well, I'm just going to pray this prayer. This is a prayer that you, at the back, you can pray this with me as well. If you're online and that's you today, would you pray this prayer with me? It's really simple. It's just, dear Jesus, I need you in my life. I come to you and I ask you for your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe that you are the Son of God. Come and be my Savior and my Lord. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to walk with you every day of my life. In Jesus' name. Thanks so much for being here today. Thanks so much for joining with us online today. God bless you. Go and build something amazing in your family. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.